Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
The general will of God is the foundation that must be laid in order for us to ultimately get to the personal will of God. I can't disregard the general will of God and ever expect to find the personal will of God. If I'm going to get into the personal will of God, I first of all have to be in His general will.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian continues his study in the book of Romans. Join us as Pastor Brian begins in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, in a message titled, The Perfect Will of God. Now, here's Pastor Brian.
Let's open up to Romans chapter 12. Verses 1 and 2 of chapter 12 of Romans, Paul says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's a topic that we want to look at tonight. One of the most fundamental issues of the Christian life is the will of God. Every serious Christian wants to know and walk in the will of God. But as many of you know, discovering the will of God can be challenging at times. I can't tell you how many people I have talked to that have struggled through this, just this whole idea of the will of God. Well, how do I know that this is really what God wants me to do? And what if I go in this direction and that's not really what God has for me? And most of us, to some degree, know that dilemma and that struggle of trying to discern what God's will is. Well, here in our text, as you saw, Paul gives us the prescription for knowing what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So, two things are necessary right up front. And we've looked at both of these in depth already, so I'm not going to go into a whole lot of detail, but let me just remind you. The two things that are necessary in order for us to make sure we're in that place to get in the center of God's will is, number one, total surrender. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God. So we talked at length about that, but that's where it starts. I'm not going to be able to get in the center of God's will if I'm not surrendered to God. If I'm still holding on to my life, if I'm still insisting on being in the driver's seat, so to speak. If I am still hoping to fulfill my plan or follow my agenda, then I'm not going to get to that place of being in the center of God's will. There has to be a relinquishing of all that. And when I do that, when I yield myself to Him in total surrender, that's when I put myself in the position to discover what God's will is. So total surrender, number one. Secondly, transformation. So again, we talked about not being conformed to this world, but being transformed by the renewing of the mind. So total surrender, transformation, that renewal of the mind through the influence of the Word of God. And as we're doing these things, as we're totally surrendering ourselves to the Lord, as we're allowing God to transform us through His Word, giving us a new way of viewing life, a new outlook on the world, a new perspective on everything, we're putting ourselves again right in that place to find ourselves right where God wants us to be, right in the center of His will. Now, when we talk about the will of God, there are different aspects of God's will that we can end up talking about. And it's important to make the distinction between what we might call the general will of God and then the personal will of God. And the difference between those two things is simply this. The general will of God is the same for all believers. The personal will of God will vary to some degree from believer to believer because it has to do specifically with that person. And the more detailed things of what God created them for or intended for them when he created them and when he saved them. So let's look for a minute first at the general will of God, because the general will of God is the foundation that must be laid in order for us to ultimately get to the personal will of God. I can't disregard the general will of God and ever expect to find the personal will of God. If I'm going to get into the personal will of God, I first of all have to be in his general will. So, the general will of God, what is it? Well, and I'm not going to, you know, be all that thorough on it. I think it's, in some senses, it's fairly simple. It's essentially everything that we're being taught throughout the scriptures and specifically in the instructional portion of the New Testament, the epistles. So as we read through the epistles of the New Testament, what we're basically being given is a picture of the general will of God. This is what God wills for all of his people. Three things I'll just touch on. Number one, living righteously. That's true for every believer. God wants every single one of his people to be living righteously. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. Let me read to you a description of what we're talking about here when we're talking about living righteously according to the general will of God. Paul says in verse 17, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness." And then he goes on to deal with some specifics. "Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give to him who has need. Let no corrupt communication proceed from your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you, with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." That is God's will for every Christian. You see, this is just one example of what it is to live righteously. So everybody is called to live righteously. All of us are called to conform to what is being stated here. So living righteously. Secondly, living in sexual purity. We're all called as God's people to live in sexual purity.
We'll return to Pastor Brian's message in just a moment. But first, we'd like to remind you that you can connect with Pastor Brian anytime through all forms of social media, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also visit our website, backtobasicsradio.com, where you can download a podcast of today's message or stream it for free. So take a moment and go to our website and be sure to sign up for Pastor Brian's weekly devotional. Now, let's continue with today's message.
Over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, in the third verse, Paul says this, "For this is the will of God." So he tells us here very specifically, "This is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each one of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also forewarned you and testified. For God did not call us to uncleanness, but in holiness." So God wills we live righteously. God wills that we live in sexual purity. Over in the fifth chapter, the 18th verse, there Paul, in the closing portion of the epistle, he says to them, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." So living righteously, living in sexual purity, living thankfully, this is the general will of God. It's the same for all of us. It's true for all of us. And this is what we are to be taken up with foundationally or firstly. This is the priority. When I come to Christ and I begin to walk with him, what I'm primarily concerned with at the moment is just the general will of God, just making sure that I'm doing the things that God has clearly laid out for all of us to do in his word. Now, the personal will of God, that is what, as we go along in our faith, that is what we become more and more interested in or more and more concerned about. As we're getting established in the general will of God, as we're living the way God has called us to live, as we are maintaining sexual purity, as we're living with thankful hearts and praising him and basically just doing those things that make for Christian maturity, then we start asking the more specific questions about, well, Lord, what do you have for me personally? And we ask those questions in regard to all different kinds of things. God's will for you personally includes things like education, vocation, marriage, financial stewardship, ministry. Those are some of the things that we begin to wonder about, some of the things that we begin to pray about, some of the things that we begin to seek the Lord on. Lord, what do you have for me? As a young person, for example, maybe you're about to graduate from high school. Lord, am I to go on to college? Or maybe you've been to college and you've graduated at one level. Lord, should I go further into this? What do you have for me in this particular area? And people, these are questions that we legitimately ask. Or, God, what is your calling for my life? What am I supposed to do? What is my vocation to be? And how can I glorify you through that vocation that you have for me? Many ask the question, Lord, what about marriage? Am I to be married? Am I to be single? If I am to be married, who am I to be married to? How do I know who's the right person? How do I know that it's the one that you have planned for me? Or again, financial stewardship. I've got this great job. I make a lot of money. What do I do with this? Am I supposed to just use it to enjoy myself? Or is there a place that God might have me to direct these resources for the furtherance of his kingdom? That's probably the case, but where specifically might that be? And then ministry. Am I called to the ministry? And if so, what does that look like? And where is that going to take place? And how am I going to really know that this is what you have for me? So these are the kinds of things. And of course, there are other things. But these are the kinds of things that come into that category of the personal will of God. Now, let me repeat something that I said a moment ago. Remember this. The personal will of God will only be discovered in the context of the general will of God. So our first priority is to concentrate on the general will of God. Make sure we're doing that. And if we're doing that, then we can expect God to give us more specific direction on the things that pertain to us personally. If I'm not in the center of God's revealed will, his general will, what the Bible says, in other words, if I'm not concerned to live righteously, but I want to know what God's plan is for my life, or if I'm living in sexual immorality, and yet I'm looking specifically, well, God, you know, what would you have me to do here? Or, you know, obviously, those things have to first of all be sorted out. And once they're sorted, and once I'm established in a consistent, solid walk with the Lord, then I come down to, okay, Lord, what do you have for me on a more personal level? So the personal will of God is discovered in the context of the general will of God. And the personal will of God will always be in harmony with the general will of God. So in other words, and this is, you know, one of those things that to some extent should go without saying, but yet it's probably safe to just say it. God is never going to call you to do something personally that his written word, that his revealed will in the scriptures prohibits. So the scriptures say, for example, just say in relationship to marriage, that we're not to be, the scriptures say generally that we're not to be unequally yoked with unbelievers. And then, of course, that would have application in marriage. So if you ever come to a place where you feel like, well, you know, I know this person isn't a believer, but I just really think it's God's will that I marry them anyway. Wrong. No. You see, because you would then be making the mistake of thinking that God's personal will for you is something that contradicts his revealed will. And that's never going to be the case. It's always going to be in harmony with the general will of God. So, here's the big question. How do I discover the personal will of God? How do I know? And maybe you would even say to me, those things that you just mentioned, I have thought about and wrestled with those things, and I still am uncertain about what God's will is in regard to some of those particular things. Well, hopefully, as we go on, that will get cleared up for you to some extent. But here's the question. How do we know what God's will is for us personally? Assuming that we're taking care of the general will, how do we know what God wants us to do? Well, there are things that I would call pointers toward the will of God. There are certain things that God is going to use to point us in the direction of his will. And the first thing is inclination. Inclination. You know what that means, right? You have an inclination towards something. You have, there's a desire there, and it's more than just a passing desire, but it's a desire that's causing you to be inclined to go in a certain direction. So God gives us an inclination toward the things that he is wanting to lead us into, those things that fall under the category of his personal will. I love the passage in Philippians where Paul tells us that it is God who works in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So God works in us. And God puts in us the will to do the thing that he wants us to do. So we have a God-given inclination towards something. You just feel like, you know, I want to do that. I just feel like that's the direction that I'm supposed to move in. And I would say along with the inclination, there would also be an enabling. There would be an enabling. Now, not everything we want to do is necessarily God's will for us to do. You know, we might want to do something that it just simply goes beyond the call that God has for us. I might want to be the most famous preacher that ever lived. But that, although that, you know, could be a good thing to aspire to, it might not be what God has called me to. So, you know, recognize that. It is possible to want to do something, but that's not necessarily what God has called you to do. And one of the ways that you'll know, or at least have a better indication that God is calling you to that, is that there is an enabling that comes along with it. So it's not simply a desire or even an inclination, but there's an enabling. There's an ability that has been given to you. So you have a gifting in a particular area. And so let's just say with, education, for example. Some people that are just, you know, they're gifted academically. And they have an inclination to go in that direction, and they have a gifting, an enabling. And this is perhaps a good indicator that this is the direction that they ought to go in. And of course, when you look at vocation, there's going to be an inclination toward a certain vocation, and there's going to be an enabling, a gifting, an ability to do that thing that you're having the desire, the inclination to do. And this is true all the way across the board. With marriage, you know, this is like a question that you should never have to ask two people, but quite often I find that I do have to ask them this question. People come in and say, well, we're thinking about maybe maybe we should get married, but we don't know if it's the will of God. How do we know if God wants us to be married? You know the first question I ask them, do you love each other? Well, I don't know. We didn't think about that. Well, and somehow we get to thinking foolishly that God's going to call us to get married to somebody without the primary ingredient of love. I've heard people say, well, you know, I didn't really love them, but I just knew it was God's will to marry them. So that's why we got married. And that's why we finally got divorced as well. You know, come on.
For the month of April, Back to Basics Radio is offering a book titled Out of a Far Country, A Gay Son's Journey to God, A Broken Mother's Search for Hope, written by Christopher and Angela Ewan. The son of immigrants, Christopher Ewan was attracted to other boys. As he grew older, his mother Angela tried to change that. Instead, she found her own life out of control. Their mutual story of heartbreak, confusion, and surrender to God offers hope for anybody affected by homosexuality. This is a riveting and powerful story, and highly recommended, especially if you have friends, family members, or if you're in contact with people who are struggling with or have questions about the homosexual lifestyle. We encourage you to call us right now at 1-800-733-6443 or visit us online at backtobasicsradio.com to order the book Out of a Far Country, A Gay Son's Journey to God, A Broken Mother's Search for Hope, written by Christopher and Angela Yuan. And when you give a gift to Back to Basics, we'll send you the book, Out of a Far Country, as our way to say thank you. We do appreciate your generous support to this ministry. We'd also like to remind you that all of our other resources are waiting for you at backtobasicsradio.com or by calling our request line at 1-800-733-6443. That's 1-800-733-6443. Our desire is to encourage you in your daily walk with God. We'll continue next time with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we study together in the book of Romans. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.